And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 783, your week 26 fab review. We'll talk some news. We'll talk remaining pitching schedules, as we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, thanks to Mr. Ben Tidd, and much, much more as we move along here. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDIntric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how we doing, my friend?
Doing all right, Bubba. We were talking about the Yankee game, and I have Cam Schlittler playing in my main event, and got a little scary there, but he got out of it, and now the Yankees are kind of opening up against Debbie Matthews. So far, so good for at least that. And but we were saying I need to save from Bednar, so I need the Schlittler to go scoreless rest of the game, bullpen give a couple, and then make a save chance for Bednar, and I'll be golden. And the Yankees win on top of it too, so that'll be a 3-for-3 there.
Speaking of the main event, how are we doing, Mr. I believe you're sixth at the current moment, if I'm reading correctly, but you've been as high as fourth and creeping in on third, even as high as third, I think, actually. Like, you're all over the place because it's tight towards there's a lot of movement in there. So how are we doing?
Yeah, I did touch third, I think, for a minute at the end of last week, and then I started the week in fourth, which I hadn't been there in months. But yeah, I've dropped like 20 points right now, but a couple of guys – the guilds is going off right now, and then Chris Cosley is having a night too. So they passed me more so than I dropped. I mean, I dropped 20 points, but it's early. Yeah. So yeah, it's just it feels like everything here is like icing on the cake. Because I forget if that's like the phrase or not, but it's just like it's all this extra at this point for me, because I didn't expect to be back up to this point in the standings, and I was stressing over my lineups more so on the pitcher side yesterday, just because I didn't really want to get any blowups that would hurt my ERA and whip, and this caused me to lose points unnecessarily. So it's I'm not really worried yet, because I'm down in six. I'm only behind like 44 points from the guilds, who's in fourth right now, because of how I literally gained 200 points last week. So the swings are still it's annoying how much the standings can swing in the overall, especially at this high at the top. It's crazy how competitive it is, but it is a weekly game that we turn it into, so I'm not going to really worry about it till the week's over and see what happens. Because, I was talking about Schlittler, he's my only pitcher that's gone so far, and I need steals and saves, and those don't really come frequently. So I'd have to be patient and just hope my guys do their jobs.
Yeah, you're only 120 basically back from third, our buddy Scott Slezak. So, you could still make some noise. And I think it's crazy. I know it's been talked about a ton. You talked to guilds a bunch, but the dude right now is the fourth, ninth, and 14th overall team. That's pretty freaking awesome. Like, that's crazy stock right there with him. So impressive, to say the least.
He needs to share a little bit better than he's doing right now. Let some other people have some fun.
Yeah, that's not what he does, though. One time, as he says. Dave Petraziello is in seventh. Obviously, Todd Hoppe and Greg Martin are at the top. They seem like they'll be up there for the rest of the duration of this. While the rest of you keep battling it out here. And it goes with Ryan Roof, our buddy, is in eighth. Geller, Greg Smith, 10th. And Toby G at 11th. A lot of names, actually. Matt Leahy's at 13th. Rob Silver's up to 15th. Kyle Brinkman has 16, 17, and 18. Crazy stuff. Did you get your little week 25 deposit? I heard about that the extra money came into the account. So did you get that for finishing in fourth overall heading into the week?
No, it's still showing zero for me, but I wonder, there's probably some sort of a lag with the credit. So, and I thought it was actually extra money when I first read the notification way back in April, but it has to stay in the NFBC or NFC. So it's like money, because I'll be playing next year.
Yeah, you're gonna use it anyways.
Yeah, so I was saying, yes, it's basically like a free 400 DC and then a free regular DC. So I got a couple leagues already paid for next year, which is nice.
Yeah, it's just fun tokens. That's what it comes down to when we all break it down. So maybe, hey, since it's technically extra money, Ben, why don't you do a November draft with us or something? I'm kidding. Kidding.
The key is the prep, Bubba. The money can't really pay for me to speed up my process.
I know, I'm joking. If we ever can get Ben to jump in one early, that would be awesome. And Cal Raleigh just hit another home run, everybody, as we speak. So, jeez. Crazy season for Big Dumper. All right, let's do a little bit of news and notes here before we get to the rest of the season outlook. And the news this time of year is more so like, hey, how can it help you maybe in like daily leagues and whatnot? Yordan Alvarez on Monday evening left the game with an ankle injury. They called it an ankle sprain as he basically stepped on home plate and his ankle, his cleats went above his ankle almost is what it turned into. When you looked at the picture, it was not good at all. On Tuesday, the MRI results came back. They didn't give us the actual results because it's the Astros. Why would they do that? But they say it's a pretty severe injury. Not going to be back anytime soon. So honestly, you're probably dropping Yordan Alvarez. They even put him on the IL, which is funny. It's like they're trying to see what they can get out of him, kind of like the Dodgers did with Freddie Freeman last season. But what are your thoughts here with Mr. Yordan Alvarez and his injury?
I think the quote said that he was going to be out for a while, and there's not a while left. So, I agree with you that he's definitely a drop. And this has really been the year where everything has gone wrong for Yordan, injury-wise at least, because, yeah, he hasn't played a full year really in his career, but he's been really productive up until now. And this is the first time he's missed a big chunk. And it does think that he won't be able to get outfield eligibility, I believe, now. He'll start at least util only next year. And most leagues, I'm sure Yahoo will have, well, he'll have outfield eligibility there. But NFBC and whoever else is a little more picky with the requirements for different positions. You have to wait, but I think he'll still be a pretty good discount. This is a fluky injury, though. He's a big guy, and I guess he's susceptible to getting hurt like this, Yordan. But a rolled ankle can happen to anybody, so I would not hold this one against him. The hands are definitely a little more concerning than the knees, but he's still – I think at the right price, I'll definitely be all for drafting him next year.
Yeah, and kind of the takeaway, and obviously Ryan and I will discuss this more on Thursday night as we see more playing time. It looks like Zach Cole will get a lot more playing time, especially versus right-handed pitchers. Zach Cole's already had 2 home runs in his short stint since being recalled, so someone to keep an eye on, even in your daily leagues. He'll get more playing time. And the Victor Caratini, if you're into that kind of weirdness, he'll DH a lot more. He DH'd a ton when Yordan was out the first time. Like he'll probably run into a handful more at bats also. Bo Bichette, he had a second opinion on his knee after getting a week of treatment. He will not be back the rest of this season. They're trying to get him ready for the postseason because the Jays pretty much have it all locked up. So you're looking at Bo Bichette for the postseason, not for the rest of this season, Ben, which means Ernie Clement will continue to see plenty of time at shortstop because, well, he deserves it is what it comes down to. What else you like? Well, and Andrés Giménez has been playing short, which means Clement plays elsewhere, second base. So my point is, those are your main culprits in the middle infield. What do you see with this Bichette situation?
It stinks. He was having a pretty good bounce back year. Definitely a drop. I think it kind of saves. So Barger's playing third now as a result of Clement moving from third to second. And I guess that means that Davis Schneider has been playing full-time lately in the outfield, it looks like. Because Varsho will be there. Nathan Lucas has been out there all year. Springer's the DH. So, I guess Davis Schneider, he's playing versus righties as well. He's the one-for-one replacement. I'm not really sure how he's been doing. I don't have him on any teams. I'm going to pull up his stats.
Super streaky.
238, 11 homers, 3 steals. Yeah, I'd rather have him in a lefty heavy lineup week, but he's playing every day, like I said. So I don't know, maybe in a deep league, but I wouldn't really prioritize looking for him I guess it depends on their schedule too. The Blue Jays, I was looking at the schedule. I don't think there's many teams that have 7 game weeks to end the season.
No, they only play
6. I don't
6.
Think anyone does. Yeah, I think they're all 6. So you're not even getting an advantage.
4 righties, 2 lefties, 3. It's all at home in Toronto, 3 Boston, 3 Tampa.
Yeah, not the best matchups. Because Bayo's been pitching well. Giolito's been pitching well. You got Crochet and then Pepio. Yeah, I would pass on Schneider probably and for most of the listeners.
Yep, I agree. Zach Neto officially went on the IL. He's been battling a hand injury for quite a while now. And the Angels said, we're going to shut him down for the rest of the year. That's a bummer, obviously. And the weird thing here, the last 3 days, your shortstop in Anaheim has been a guy named Denzer Guzman, a 21-year-old. And Ben, I don't even know who he is, and I've covered the Angels in depth when it comes to stuff because of Baseball HQ. But he started the season in Double-A. He's actually, Double-A, spent some time in Triple-A, hit .247, 17 homers, 14 steals in 129 games. Not sure that excites me very much, but again, in a deep league like you like to play in, he's going to play every single game.
He is. I pulled up his fan graphs. Pretty high K rate. He is super young. He started playing when he was 17. He probably was a 16-year-old signee. And then he's 21 now, but a lot of elevated K rates along the way, a lot of bad averages, and doesn't really steal that much or have a lot of power. He was 17 and 14 this year in combined double and triple A, which is pretty impressive as a 21-year-old. So maybe he's finally – maybe he's needed time because he was so young in most of his career. But I wouldn't want to risk such a small sample on a rookie like this. So I would – I guess if you just need a body for the last week, we were kind of talking last episode about readjusting your benches potentially for in weekly leagues where you have more options to choose from. Hit on the hitter side, maybe it makes sense in that case, but I'm not going to be targeting this guy, I don't think, to play for any of my teams.
Yep, I agree. Want to hit on this one. Edmundo Sosa goes to the IL with a groin injury. He was filling in for the injured Trey Turner, who's pretty much out for the season as well. Biggest takeaway here, and kind of noticed it when Edmundo first missed some time, Ben, Bryson Stott has been getting regular at-bats at shortstop for lefties and righties. So this is – I just bring it into question because – Bryson Stott, we've always kind of like, not we as a community kind of has liked for the little bit of power, tons of speed, but he sits a lot. That was the problem, sits versus lefties. Now he's playing every day. There's a world where that becomes very nice, especially if he's sitting on your bench. You don't know if you should start him or not. There's a window for some Bryson Stott fun for the last, you know, week and a half.
There is. I feel like historically he hasn't been good versus lefties, so it's kind of, we haven't really been missing out on a whole lot. I'm going to try to look at the splits. Where we talk, but also looking at their roster resource, and I believe Weston Wilson is the third guy in line because we lost Turner, then he was Edmundo Sosa. So pretty bad luck there. Well, I guess historically Stott has a 718 OPS versus righties and a 664 versus lefties. Not a huge downgrade. Well, you're not really going down a whole lot because he hasn't really been that good of a hitter in his career. So. It's good for if you need steals, which I do need in a couple spots. If you do roster stop, so that's good. But he still hits low in the lineup. He's hitting eighth. I guess he's NL. Andres Jimenez is, I guess, my best comp to it. Ooh, but Stott, I think Stott's been playing most of the years. Well, they were getting drafted around the same spot.
It's true.
I rather took Stott because he actually has played this year and probably he has 23 steals and 12 homers. So. Yeah, he's what we were hoping Jimenez would be, Stott. But I don't know. I've never really been a big Weston Wilson guy. I know some people have liked him in the past. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't really go crazy for him.
I think it's primarily Stott's job, at least for the last week. Like Wilson might get a start here and there. I think Stott's your primary dude at this position.
Well, Wilson's playing second while Stott goes to short, so it's like the second. Gotcha. It's like so because Stott was already playing, and then we lost Sosa, so now Wilson's playing for Sosa, but Stott is – it's kind of like the it's just like the Blue Jays because they lost their shortstop, and now Jimenez went to play short, and now Stott's playing short. It's almost a mirror.
Yeah, I guess Wilson in like a deeper format might have some appeal. Probably doesn't do it for me. If it was more like a multiple-week thing, maybe something we could see and develop potentially, but not in this situation most likely, especially when, Ben, in the end, we're talking about maybe $2 of fab we have left. Not sure I'm spending it on Weston Wilson.
Not at all.
Up this week. Dr. Doom in the chat says, will he have enough time to earn shortstop eligibility, referring to Bryson Stott? No. He's only played five games. He might earn it in season for the final week of the year, but not for next season. It's a little too late for that party. Last bits of news here. We also want to mention Trey Yesavage was promoted for the Jays, made the start on Monday. Filthy five innings, one run, two walks, 9 Ks in Tampa Bay, 19 whiffs. He'll be a popular name coming up in Fab this week, Ben. He's also projected to face Kansas City this Sunday for those in daily leagues, and then potentially gets Tampa Bay to finish the season in Toronto, which would be pretty nice as well.
Yeah, that would be an appealing start. I'm assuming he would pitch the entire game. I don't know what his workload's been like.
They said when they called him up, there's no restrictions when they called him up. That's what they said.
All right, so that's actually one of the safer starts then for the end of the next week, because there's always, you never really know what's going to happen with these teams on the last Sunday of the season. It's anything could really happen. So you'd rather have guys who start at the beginning of the week, but I think Yesavage will be okay, to your point. And I saw his highlights. I didn't watch any of the start, but he really releases the ball high up there. I think he has like the highest release point in the majors or something like that. So him having 9 Ks in his debut isn't really surprising when people aren't really used to that kind of release point.
Yeah, Pitching Ninja had a side-by-side with him and Verlander, and it was almost identical, which that's not a bad thing. As much as I joke with Verlander, I've gave him his flowers recently on some shows. I've said he's pitched very well, but he's also had a phenomenal career. There's no denying that. So if you could mimic that, probably not the worst thing you could put together. Last bit of news I want to mention is Bryce Eldridge was promoted by the Giants, made the start on Monday, sitting on Tuesday versus a lefty. So that is definitely something to keep in mind. Eldridge is just a beast hitting. It's not fair to compare someone to Nick Kurtz, but Eldridge was hitting the ball like Nick Kurtz in the minor leagues. Let's put it that way. Both first basemen, both super young. Eldridge is 21 also. A little late in the season to get him. But what I'll say is even after tonight, if you're in your daily leagues and he's somehow available, they get 4 righties in the next 5 games to finish this week. And next week, the Giants potentially are facing 5 righties in 6 games. The last 3 is you got Marquez, Freeland, and Brown for Colorado. So 2 out of the 3 righties and against the Rockies. It's in San Francisco, but still nice matchups. So Eldridge should be very intriguing come Fab this weekend, Ben.
Yeah, and even the St. Louis series before that I think is pretty appealing because you have Piante, McGreevy's hit or miss, and Sonny Gray's kind of been struggling lately. So I think the week as a whole is pretty good for Giants hitters.
Agreed.
It's just one of those things that we're kind of like with the guy on the A's or the Angels we were talking about earlier. I forget his name already. Rookie, it's just hard to have any idea how they're going to do, period. And then in a 1 week sample, it's even harder. So just, I guess if you need a backup first baseman or an extra first baseman, why not put a dollar on Eldridge or however much you can afford? But I was looking for backup first baseman actually this past Sunday. We'll talk about that in our ads. And there weren't a lot available. So I think if people are in need for the final week, he'll probably be the highest. Most coveted banks,
corner infield definitely have some viability there. As Dr. Doom says, hit one last night that would have been out of the time. Yeah, he hit a ball to left center field in Arizona. It was like 106 off the bat or something. Would have been gone in 23 stadiums. He smoked it. His whole family was standing. They all thought it was gone. He kind of did. I will say he has a very good eye at the plate. So I'm excited about him. Again, it's only a week sample, so it's tough to see. But next year, if he sticks, this will be. I'll be happy as a Giants fan. All right, Ben, let's take a look. Let's get to the rest of season outlook. We have 2 weeks to go. We've been doing this for a few weeks now. We can, we've been able to fit it all in for the last couple of weeks, but we can really hone in for the last 2 weeks here. So like usual, though, before we get started, if we have new listeners, give them a little idea of what we are looking at as we discuss lefties, righties, and all the good stuff.
Sure. I've assembled this workbook. It takes the rest of the season schedule. So at this point, it's just the last less than 2 weeks technically, but it's looking at the from Monday the 15th all the way to the end of the season. And it's also looking at RotoWire's projected starters over those next 2 weeks. And then it's also looking at all of the team's hitting stats, mainly looking at WRC+ overall. And then as we go through the pitchers, it's also pulling out what they're doing versus righties and lefties. So we have a column of left-handed pitchers and their opponents' WRC+s from the last 30 days, projecting out over the next 2 or 3 starts that they have, and what's the average of their opponents versus their handedness. And there's one for the lefties and righties, and just sorted by best at the top, going down to worst. And it looks like the righty, it's pretty close actually. So the WRC+ versus lefties for these matchups, and it's also not a perfect average because there's more righties, so maybe they skew depending on the matchups versus the lefties. It's not like a league-wide trend to say this right now, but it's pretty close. So the left-handed average or the average team versus left-handed pitchers over the last 30 days, WRC+ has been 101.9 and it's 102.8 for right-handed pitchers. So we started out doing this where lefties were a lot better versus offenses in general in the majors. And then over the last couple weeks, actually went the other direction where the right-handed pitchers were having better matchups, but now it's kind of even. This is probably as even as it's been since we've been doing this. I think it's literally less than a point difference in the WRC+s. So just looking at the individuals at this point, and I already started trimming off some starters for my main event we discussed earlier. So it's trying to just hone in. And of course, there's situations where you want to stream volume, and this could help in case there's like a 2-star week next week. but we're kind of saying that with, or at least alluding to it with Trey Savage. Mm-hmm. Nothing is really guaranteed for next week in terms of, especially two start weeks. A lot could change, so just be cautious if you're trying to maximize however little money you may have left.
A lot can change, a lot will change, and we'll do our best to keep you up to date in the coming days between this show, Bubba and the Bloom, the Discord, all the good stuff to give you the best we can do there. Let's get to it. We'll start with the lefties as we usually do here. I'll start with Quintana. He's banged up. Not sure he'll make his next start, but he's the first guy with two starts remaining, and he rates out near the top here. Milwaukee's obviously, they already locked up a postseason berth. They're trying to lock up the Central. Quintana gets St. Louis to finish this week if he makes that start, then Cincinnati next week, and we're looking at both guys with WRC pluses below 70 as a team versus lefties. This is a sweet matchup if Quintana can take the bump.
Yeah, it is. I pulled up his underlying stats from the last 3 weeks or so, and pretty ugly numbers. 3.3% K-minus walk for Quintana, swing strike of 8.1. Left on base, he's been pretty unlucky with left on base, 53%. Sierra exit of about 5.5. So he's just been getting by with I don't even know what his stats are looking like because I don't have Quintana anywhere. So I mean, he could be struggling lately. I want to pull up his stats to see how he's been doing. Game log. Yeah, he had a rough start versus the Diamondbacks, 14.7 ERA, 6 runs and 3 2/3. And the 3 starts after that weren't very good. So this is solely a volume play. It's a start per week, so it's not even like he has a two-start week. But they are good matchups. So if you are desperate, maybe in a NL only, I could see it, or a deeper league. I think Quintana has been rostered a lot of the season in the main event. So with the as poorly as the Cardinals and the Reds have been hitting, I think it makes sense if you're okay with not it, or if you're okay with having a blow up potentially in your lineups. But yeah, what was the injury you said he's day to day with?
Calf injury. He had an MRI. Didn't reveal anything serious. He was doing some light throwing and running today. He thinks he'll be back, but he'll do some more testing in the coming day. He's going to throw a bullpen, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, this is mild calf strain, so I feel like he might be out then. That sounds like a...
No, that's probably... They're optimistic, but again, they don't really have any reason to push him. That's why, again, we said a lot can change. This is already one that... If it was a postseason game, he probably pitches. Yeah. But he doesn't need to right now.
You know what I would do if I was the other team? I would just bunt. make him get off the mound. Yeah. And you get one under your chin.
Not a bad. Yeah, he would get, well, from Quintana, it wouldn't hurt.
So, it'd be like a fast pitch softball pitch or something. Slow pitch softball.
Exactly. I want to hit this one up. We'll skip Chris Sale because you're starting Chris Sale. Let's talk about Mitch Ferris of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. This has a Mitchell Parker vibe here.
Oh, no.
No, just because, like, do you trust it is what it comes down to. Mitch Ferris has made 3 starts since joining the rotation on just September 2nd. Last start, 4 innings, 5 earned, 4 walks, 7 Ks in Seattle. But then prior to that, 11 total innings, 3 runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks between the A's and the Royals. I bring up that last one because he's got at Coors this week, if you trust it, 66.2 WRC plus versus lefties. I think it's the Royals next week, a team we love targeting with left-handed pitching. Again, probably deep league only in this regard. But if you're looking at a 1 start versus the Royals next week, Ben, there's got to be a little interest there.
There is. He has better underlying numbers, Ferris, than Quintana has. So that's a win in his favor already. The swing strike's 11.3%, which is at least okay. Really, with Ferris, it's been the walk rate that's been bad, 11% over the last 3 weeks, which is basically, I think, his entire career. And it really came out last start versus the Mariners, where he had 4 and 4 innings. Before that, though, he only had 3 and 11 innings. So and the Mariners are tough, so I don't know if I'd hold that against them too much. But looking at the matchups, yeah, in Coors, they're so depleted, the Rockies and the Royals, you said, are a pretty good streaming matchup. So I guess it's because he's healthy. I would probably prefer him over Quintana at this point if he had to make a decision going forward. But definitely some risk still with the walk rate being that high. I don't know if the 4 and 4 innings versus the Mariners is something he's had issues with in the minors, but it's something that's to be aware of.
Yeah, in the minors, he had a 4.27 ERA over 22 starts, 116 innings pitched, 28% K rate, 11% walk for a 17% K to walk. So yeah, control has not been his best friend, but strikeouts have been there. So what do you need for your last week of the season, I guess, what that comes down to. All right, let's talk Jeffrey Springs. He's making a start tonight, so we won't worry about that one. But then he's got two more starts coming up Sunday at Pittsburgh, and then next week at home. Tough ballpark, but again, Kansas City. Ding, ding, ding. Both teams, Kansas City 77.2 WRC plus versus lefties. But that Pittsburgh start is not as cookie cutter as it once felt. 95.6 WRC plus, still below average, but I think a lot better than some might think when it comes to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, I think we talked about Springs last week, and we were saying how this week that we're currently in, week 26, was ideal because he's on the road for both. And yeah, the Pirates are the best matchup by WRC plus, but I'd probably prefer facing them than I would the Royals. Well, definitely the Red Sox. The Red Sox actually have the worst WRC plus amongst the three teams, which is kind of surprising that they've been struggling so much versus lefties lately. But yeah, I think Sprint, and when he gets the Royals at home, I think it's fine. I wouldn't really worry too much about pitching in Sacramento for Springs. So I think his swing strike rate hasn't really been there lately. I think he's kind of struggling with maybe not being fully worked up with his workload. But I think Springs is a pretty good play over these last 2 weeks. And you're kind of missed this week already with the two-start week. But if you have a daily league, definitely target the Pirates and the Royals for his last two starts.
You say Kikuchi checks the boxes here. Terrifying. He's been so bad lately. Coming off a good start his last time. Prior to that, just destructive to your rosters. gets Milwaukee in Milwaukee this week. I want nothing to do with that. They have a WRC plus around 96. But then he gets the Royals next week. There's a trend here, Ben. do you trust Kikuchi at home against the Royals next week?
Well, I never really trust Kikuchi to begin with. yeah, the only good thing he has going for him mostly is the swing strike rate over the last 3 weeks is almost 13%, so that's really good. But K's has never been an issue with Kikuchi, and he's actually been unlucky with K's. So his K percentage is actually 2.9% higher than the swing strike rate over the last 3 weeks, where it's supposed to like be double. It's kind of like the rule of thumb. So he's gotten very unlucky with the strikeouts. The K-minus walks only 4.8% in that time. I know his ERA, you know, his like whip on the year is over 1.4 Kikuchi's. So he's been a train wreck. I guess if you need strikeouts, he makes a lot of sense because that's, I kind of alluded to with the swing strike rate. That's the one thing he's kind of good at getting still. I would just, I don't know. If your whip's close at all, I would try to avoid playing him. And definitely don't play him Thursday night versus the Brewers. I would only consider versus the Royals next week.
Agreed. I actually dropped him in some 12s this week. I'm like, I don't need you on my roster. I'm not facing Milwaukee. And yeah, the Royal starts nice, but that could be just terrifying to think about all over the place. I'm interested to hear your thoughts here because I've always been team Patrick Corbin. That's just been my jam. The dude's been overall, I think, pretty darn serviceable this season. Most weeks he's actually worth a stream. He's had some hiccups. There's zero denying that. When you look at Patrick Corbin, he gets the Marlins in Texas on Saturday. And then next week at Cleveland, these are things you dream of, Ben. He has Miami at 91 WRC plus, Cleveland at 82.5 WRC plus. Honestly, I know people hate the man. Corbin is firmly in play next week for me.
I agree. As much as I don't want to, I forget if I ended up adding him at all this year because he did have some pretty nice streaming options.
Oh, I did.
I know. Oh yeah, you've rostered him all year. It seems like.
Yeah, a lot of innings have been logged on some of my 15 teams with Patrick Corbin. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm looking at his underlying metrics for the last 3 weeks. A lot of goodness here. 19.6 K minus walk. That's pretty close to being elite. Sierra and XFIP in the low to mid threes. Swing strike at 14.1%. So he's been crushing it, Corbin. And even though we're getting to a little bit higher WRC pluses than the previous pitchers we mentioned. The Marlins are still bad. The Guardians are still bad. So there's still some risk with Corbin, but the way he's been pitching in the matchups, I think he's a pretty good streaming option over the next 2 weeks.
Yep, agreed. We're going to skip Matthew Liberatore. He had his best matchup last night against Cincinnati and had his best start in a long time. He gets Milwaukee this weekend and the Cubs next week, both teams that are pretty good, at least close to average versus lefties. Liberatore usually doesn't go deep into games. I'm going to go to... Let's go to David Peterson. This is a guy that's been pretty good all season. He's had his ups and downs like most of these guys, but He has a pretty sweet schedule coming up here, Ben. When you look at Mr. Peterson, he gets the Padres on Wednesday in New York. Then he gets a two-step next week, potentially, at Wrigley Field, and then finishes at Miami. And the Mets are going for it. They need pretty much everything right about now, Ben. If you look at Peterson, you know, like the Padres in 82-6, Cubs 98-1, Miami 91-2. So a couple pretty nice starts. Cubs, the Cubs offense as a whole doesn't feel great, but they must be they're average versus lefties at least.
Yeah, they were due to heat up, the Cubs. They were doing so poorly for so long that the entire team was like slumping, it seemed like. And now they don't have Tucker, which also helps as well for Peterson, even though he's a lefty, but Tucker can hit anybody. It's really the whip that's bad with Peterson. It's 1.32. He's kind of regressed back up to where he's been for his career. But he has been unlucky over the last 3 weeks when he's kind of struggled. His BABIP against has been 477. And his left on base is only 46.9%. So that's about as bad as he can get in both directions for the BABIP and left on base for Peterson. The K minus walk is only 12.7, but he's never really been a big K guy. And the walks kind of are a little bit of an issue. But the way he's been pitching all year, it's tough to sit him because he has been pretty valuable most of the season. You know, now the whip's kind of hurting you on the whole. Yeah, he's really appealing if you need the volume because you're getting – I agree with you. I think it's going to be a guaranteed two-start for him in this case because of how the Mets are fighting for the wild card. And I doubt they'll be able to win enough games between now and next Sunday where they're going to be comfortable. Or they could just keep losing and then they're out of it and then they don't really need him. But I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily. So I think Peterson's solid. It's just the Cubs start is definitely scary. And if you're protecting ratios, maybe you don't really need wins or Ks. Maybe you go somewhere else because the whip, like I said, could hurt you. But with those luck indicators, I think they could always sustain for two more starts. But I find it a hard. I think he has some good luck due for himself, Peterson.
I agree. Peterson is very enticing. I want to bring up Robbie Ray. He's got two starts remaining this season at the Dodgers this Friday. Terrifying, even though Dodgers have been bad versus lefties of late. But I guess over the last little bit, really good, 114 WRC plus, a lot long. If you go deeper sample, struggling. So they're heating up, as one might say. And then but the enticing part is maybe you benched him this week because the struggles have been real. He allowed 5 runs to the Dodgers in his last start, 2 runs to the D-backs, 4 runs in Coors, 6 runs in Baltimore, 3 runs. It's been a rough go for Robbie Ray. But next week, Robbie Ray at home against the St. Louis Cardinals, Ben, who has a 71 WRC plus versus lefties. With all things considered, with all the struggles, you throwing Ray out there next week?
Well, I actually can answer this. In my DC, I will be. But I do did have Robbie Ray in my home 12-teamer, which is in the finals right now. I actually dropped him for Shane Smith this morning because I saw the Dodgers.
I'm asking this question because this is where, not all of these are ads. This is also, hey, do we trust this for the stretch run also?
Yeah, so I dropped Robbie Ray in my home league this morning for Shane Smith, who's pitching tonight. I don't know how Shane's doing yet. I haven't looked, but yeah, he just faced the Dodgers, Robbie Ray. I was going to be in a tight matchup with ERA and Whip, I think, and I didn't want to risk another poor start from him. And I pulled the online stats, same thing as Peterson. I think it was Peterson. Last 3 weeks, Robbie Ray's BABIP against is 431. His left on base against is only 45.5%. So both extremely unlucky for him. The K minus walk is still average of 15.3, but it's a lot of that is dragged down by the 11.8% walk rate. So he's getting a lot of strikeouts, Robbie. It's just that the walks are kind of hurting him, plus the BABIP and the left on base. So it's just a lot of bad luck, but poor pitching on his part too with the walks. So, and the Dodgers scare me. We were debating about playing Lizardo versus them. They're still the Dodgers, and yeah, well, a 114 left WRC plus is still pretty good. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, he was a drop for me in my 12, and I think I had to play him in my DC because it's a DC. What am I going to do? So, definitely start him for the Cardinals if you keep him past this week. In your league goes that far, at least I think that's a good. Well, I guess it depends on what happens with the Dodgers. If the Dodgers destroy him, maybe he's kind of say, okay, I'm good. But yeah. I don't know. I think it's a wait and see, and definitely don't start him in 3 days.
Yeah, if he somehow puts together at least even a quality start, it might get my confidence back up for next week. But he just looks like a lost soul out there right now on the mound. Speaking of which, a person that we debated quite a bit in our little chat with me, you and Ryan, for your lineup this week, Nick Lodolo. Mm-hmm. Nick Lodolo gets the Cubs this week in Great American Small Park. Oof. And then next week, Pittsburgh in Great American Small Park. Lodolo has allowed 5 runs in his last start in Oakland, shut down the Padres in 5 innings, 4 runs at the Dodgers. He's only gone 4 2/3, 5 innings. He hasn't gone deep, period. He hasn't gone over 5 1/3 innings in his last 5 starts. That is a bit of a concern. And he gets a Cubs team with a 98.1 WRC plus and a Pirates team at 95.6. What'd you end up doing this week, Ben? And how does that make you feel for Pittsburgh next week?
So I played Lodolo in the main event. I had several scarier matchups and I had to play somebody. Yes. So I went with Lodolo. So he came back on the 27th versus the Dodgers. One thing that was promising in that start, though, was he had 6 Ks, only 1 walk. The start versus the Padres was good. Only 2 Ks, though. And then, so I was looking at the Statcast because I was curious what actually happened with the A's, because that was the 2-star week last week. So he ended up doing pretty well. It was a 4.36 ERA, but a 1.06 whip, and he had 7 Ks. So it was pretty good, I think, as a whole. Going into last week, I knew the A's start in Sacramento was going to be scary because he's kind of fly ball-y with his profile, I think, Lodolo. And you know, I was worried about homers there. But he got really unlucky with the Statcast. He had like 19 whiffs or something. And then so looking at the last 3 weeks for Lodolo, he's a 15.4% swing and strike rate, low left on base, only 67%. So he's got unlucky there. But he has a 17.2% K-minus walk, only a 3% walk rate. Sierra and XFIP a little bit high, but they're fine at this point in the year. Like, there's so many injured pitchers that there aren't many good ones that have been around for the whole season that are left. So that's in terms of his skills. And I forget who the matchup was before with the Cubs, that they've been okay, the 98.1. And I am fully fine playing Lodolo versus the Pirates next week. I actually have Shota and Lodolo going in that game on the 19th, the Cubs and the Reds. So hopefully it's a cold, windy day blowing in for the two of them.
The monsoon shows up on Thursday and we just call it good.
Have them pitch on the Friday series or something, whatever it is.
That's funny. All right, a couple more lefties before we head to the right side here. I want to mention Matt Boyd. This has been a question I've gotten a lot, actually, and many of us have dealt with between Discord, and I had a Twitter conversation with someone as well. Boyd gets at Pittsburgh this week, which is beautiful. Next week, potentially at home versus the Mets and at home versus the Cardinals. Matthew Boyd allowed 4 runs, 2 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs, 4 runs. That's his last 5 starts. 5 1/3 to 7 innings, give or take there. Strikeouts have been down. It's been 3 or less in 3 out of the 5 when it comes to Matt Boyd. But his matchups, like the Mets, very tough. 126.6 first lefties. But the Pittsburgh start this week, 95.6. And he's got the two-step, the Mets, but then the Cardinals, 70.7 next week. Where do you sit on starting Matt Boyd? Because I feel like he's hit his wall, and I'm terrified to have him touch the ball right now. But 2 out of the 3 matchups are kind of promising.
Yeah, the problem is you're kind of – well, what's so tomorrow is the Pirates start. I would probably play him for that, even though he has been struggling lately, Boyd. It's really – it comes down to what you think the Mets are going to do, because they could ruin that week. And then if the Cubs are – they're not playing for anything, they probably sit Boyd on the 28th. They don't play him. So if you do hope for the 2-star week, you could get a big dud, and that's it. So it's very risky. I wouldn't decide on – well, obviously you don't decide yet on next week, but if it goes well with the Pirates, maybe you play him. If it goes poorly, then you probably sit him, I think. Looking at his underlying numbers – the K-minus walk for last 3 weeks has been bad, 11.5%. The swing strike's only 11%, not awful, but it's not good. He's kind of just been mediocre across the board. The Sierra is 4.91 in that time, XFIP's 5.28, so those are actually bad. I don't have Boyd anywhere, so I kind of miss out on the bounce back here, but these decisions now are tough because you're kind of biased about how good these guys have been all year, and then you kind of have to deal with how they're actually performing lately. So if it's a good Pirates start, maybe you play him, but just be careful that it could be 1 start versus the Mets, and that could be a really ugly one.
Yep, that works for me. Any other lefties you want to discuss before we go to the right side of things?
Let me look. Yeah, it gets to Well, they have Tully on here.
League average. Yeah, I saw Tully, but I don't know if he's even starting. So I kind of passed on him. That's so up in the air.
Erod has three starts. We talked about him last week, and we're kind of out. I was out on the three starts at least.
Not for me either.
Ian Seymour, who's he have? He's at the Blue Jays twice. That's kind of tricky. It gets ugly. It's in terms of numbers, at least it gets ugly. So yeah, I guess we're good.
All right, let's go to the right side of things, and we're going to kick it off with Justin Verlander. Verlander gets the D-backs on Wednesday, tomorrow, as we record this on a Tuesday. And then I've talked about it for a few weeks now, the potential two-step, and if the Giants are still in it, and even if they're not, I don't know why they wouldn't start Verlander, because they have no pitching right now. B, he wants to pitch. He gets at home versus St. Louis and at home versus Colorado, Ben. Verlander's been great of late. It's been one earned run, 0-0-2. Over his last four, he had a hiccup against the Padres, just gave up six, and zero against Tampa Bay. Strikeouts have been decent, not great. Walks have been sketchy. But you look at the matchups here. He's got Arizona on Wednesday, 87.7 WRC plus versus righties. And that St. Louis, Colorado, 81.7 for St. Louis, 63.5 against the Road Rockies. Verlander is one of the best ads this week. And what I was kind of disappointed about, I was looking at adding him this week for next week. Most of my league mates have already picked up on that.
they knew you're a fan. That's why, Bubba.
Unfortunately, yes. We'll go with that. We'll go with
that. Sure. So when we talked about him last week, Verlander, I definitely said that week 27 looked great with the Cardinals and the Rockies. Looking at it now, though, there's a risk that there's no Rocky start because it is Sunday. It really depends on what the Giants need, if they're in it still or if they're out of it, obviously. So that's risky, but the Cardinals are still good by themselves. So I think you definitely play Verlander next week. I think I had said at the time last week that the D-backs might be a sit, but if you did play him for this week, I don't think it's that bad because they've really slowed down. 87.7 WRC plus versus righties over the last month. Verlander's kind of the opposite of the other guys we were mentioning on the lefties. He's been lucky with his left on base last 3 weeks, 94%. The K-minus walks fine, 15 on the nose. So he's been good. He's been about league average, roughly. And that's probably good enough for this time of the year. So I think Verlander in these starts is a pretty good bet. It's, of course, he's so old that he could just kind of fall apart, but he's been pitching a lot better than he did earlier in the year, so I think these three starts are pretty good.
Agreed. Just for fun here, Kyle Hendricks in Coors this week on like Friday, Saturday. The next week at home versus Houston, Rockies is 63.5 WRC plus. Do you trust Kyle Hendricks for that?
Oh God, no. That's what's driving him to be at the top of the list because they were 63.5 versus righties. So yeah, unless you're in one of those leagues where you're trying to have the worst stats, maybe you play them. But
oh, that's beautiful.
Those reverse roto leagues, if they're actually a thing. But yeah, I would not play Hendricks.
What about Chucky Morton? Charlie Morton's got two starts left this season, and he's really hit the skids of late against the Braves on Friday in Detroit. And then next week he's on the road against Cleveland. That's the main reason I bring this up. Atlanta, 86.9 versus righties. But Cleveland at 70.3 WRC plus, we want to target Cleveland. That's a big thing we love to do. He's probably widely available in a lot of, probably even kind of available in 15s, widely in 12s. Is Morton, even though the struggles are there, is he worth a start against the wonderful Cleveland Guardians?
He might be. He's been so bad lately. For as good as he was during that one stretch, Morton's got a 16.7% walk rate the last 3 weeks. His EV against is 94.1 miles per hour, ball rate of 41%, so the walks are justified. Hard hit against of 52.1%. So he's really showing his age last few weeks, Charlie Morton. And only if you're desperate for and you can't do any better, I would play him. But even in my DC, I might try to avoid playing him. I'm pretty sure I sat him for the Braves start because that really scared me because they just went off last night versus Mitchell Parker, who is a slightly better version of Charlie Morton, probably. But this is solely because of how bad Morton's been that it's hard to say yes to starting him. I'd try to avoid it if I could.
I'm with you there. Let's go to his teammate, a guy that you put a tweet in the Discord about, Charlie Morton. Really good versus good teams, really bad versus bad teams. Well, Jack Flaherty gets Cleveland on Wednesday. Bad team. Next week at Cleveland, at Boston. So he's got three really two Cleveland matchups, and then a Boston team with a 107 WRC plus. This is terrifying, Ben. Absolutely terrifying. Because we just said you want to start pitchers versus Cleveland, and there's awesome reasons for all of this. I'm starting him. I'm going down with the ship. I am Jack Sparrow as that thing falls. I'm on the tip holding the flag. Where are you at here on Jack Flaherty? Because I totally understand every concern people have.
Yeah. Last 3 weeks, 6.4% swing strike rate. So not good at all. Oh, God. His That's Z bad. Contact in that time, 96.4%. You can't get one. Man.
Don't talk
logic. What was that?
Don't talk logic right now, please.
I know. Well, he literally defies logic, as the tweet said. So he's going to get crushed versus the Guardians. He's going to dominate the Red Sox. It's how it's going to go. But I think I joked too at times in the Discord. At this point, what do you have to lose if you have Flaherty? Unless maybe you added him after somebody dropped him. I think. I think it's if you're a Jack Flaherty manager, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, Bubba.
No, you're good. No, you're good. I said, no, I mean, if someone actually picked him up off the wire, like I've just decided to die on the hill. If people decided to join me at the last minute, that's on you.
I feel like it's got to turn around, though, the luck, where he's going to actually do well against a bad team. You think that would actually happen eventually. So I guess he was one of your better pitchers coming out of the drafts, and unless you're able to hit big on a free agent add throughout the year, you're probably still stuck with having to start Flaherty. So he just shut out the Yankees. Go figure. But
good team.
He did well versus the Royals though too, so maybe there's hope for his start versus the Guardians. I don't know. Only thing I really have right now.
All right, let's go to Cleveland and let's talk Tanner Bibee, who has two more starts this year, both versus Detroit, which as a whole, we know Detroit's a good team. They're battling for the postseason. The Guardians are still battling for the postseason. Bibee has allowed two runs over his last 15 and two-thirds innings, last two starts, with 13 Ks and one walk. Very sketchy before that, Ben. I mentioned I dropped him a long time ago, and I didn't get the last two starts, but I avoided all the other ones. It's at Detroit this week, at home versus Detroit next week, Ben. 86.5 WRC plus for the Tigers. Are you a believer in this new Tanner Bibee that we've seen over two starts, or is there still a lot of like, hey, he could be Jack Flaherty wearing a Bibee mask?
That's like the Scooby-Doo meme something like that. I'm just going to say real quick, it's kind of impressive how the Tigers are still destroying lefties. They have a 156 WRC plus over the last month versus them. That's kind of incredible. I have no idea why I like that, but it's how it is. It's
a heck of a number.
It really is. Bibee's actually been pretty good lately last 3 weeks. The only thing that's been in his favor, and I think the White Sox start may have a lot to do with it, is a 193 BABIP against. But his Sierra and XFIP are basically 3.75, only walking 3.7% of batters. I feel like he's kind of turned things around, it seems like. So I would definitely be looking to start Bibee, I think, in these two matchups.
All righty. How about the good Lord? Brad Lord. He gets the Braves on Wednesday in Washington, and then next week goes on the road against Atlanta. I only ask this because Atlanta has an 86.9 WRC plus first righties. I know my answer without looking at any stats. Where are you at on Brad Lord?
You going to church for church first to pray?
I'm just going to just pour the holy water out and just not even pretend his name's on the sheet. Same with Jake Irwin, who's below him, but I wanted to bring him up to you to give you a shot to maybe convince people otherwise.
It hasn't been that bad. I mean, we definitely discussed
pitchers. There we go. I knew it. Let's go.
It hasn't been that bad for the Lord. It's the Sierra and XFIP are only 4.32 and 4.24 over the last 3 weeks. Not getting a lot of swings and misses. Kind of walking a lot of guys. He has a higher walk rate than swing strike rate over the last 3 weeks, which isn't good. But it's because it's the Braves. I would avoid him. I see no reason for. Only in like an NL only maybe, but I would not try to start the Lord over the last 2 weeks.
I'm with you. I want to ask you about this one because I have my thoughts as I watch Mr. Kaiwei Tang pitch for the Giants. It's been some really outstanding starts. Some others like, what the heck just happened starts. When it comes to Tang, he pitched on Monday in Arizona. He's in LA against the Dodgers on Saturday. Don't do that. If he pitches great, kudos. More importantly, I want to ask you, because he's widely available, widely, even in probably your main event leagues, Ben. Kaiwei Tang is at home next Friday against the Colorado Rockies. Now, things can change with the Giants rotation. But like I've said with most Giants pitchers, they have Verlander, Webb, and Ray. The last two spots are just injured disasters right now. They're just grasping at straws. And when it comes to Tang, he doesn't go deep into games, but he limits the damage at least half the time, I'll say. But more importantly, he has a ton of strikeout upside out there. So I guess it depends on what you need more than anything, Ben. But that Rocky start is very enticing. So where are you at on Kaiwei Tang?
I know nothing about him, really. I've seen his name come up on the RotoWire sheets before, or the grid, and I was always curious about who he was.
It's literally a coin toss every start. Like, he's either really, like, locked in, or his walks get in his way. And, like, if you look at his three bad starts, he walked, guys.
Yeah, three walks in the first bad one, then four, and then five versus the Cardinals most recently. But he basically shut down the Diamondbacks over four innings. So he did face the Rockies in Coors. Tang did back on September 1st. He had 8 Ks and 5 1/3 and got the win. So he does have 2 wins in his 6-7 games this year. So there is a chance. I would just stream him for the Rockies start. I mean, at this point, if you're in a weekly league, you can't for the two-step. And I wouldn't want to anyway versus the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. And, yeah, that was yesterday. So he already had that one leg of the two-step. And it was good. So he got off to a good start. The Dodgers could crush him. But, yeah, I would definitely play him or consider him if I needed to next week, Kaiwei Tang.
And I want to mention this for anyone that doesn't know about Mr. Kaiwei Tang as well. At AAA, or in the minors this year, is all AAA. Tang threw 57 innings. He was primarily out of the pen, but made 4 starts. He had a 3.63 ERA. But more impressively to me, 37% strikeout rate with a 9% walk rate, basically a 28% K to walk. So very effective at AAA and a very hitter-friendly Pacific Coast League. So there is potential there, especially against the Colorado Rockies. All right, Casey Mize, you're probably starting him. Cade Horton, you're starting him. Jameson Taillon, you're starting Severino. Caden Dana, does that do anything for you? He's pitching against Milwaukee tonight. He's giving up a 2-run homer to Christian Yelich to give up 5 runs, I believe, through 4 innings. He still has Houston, and then he gets at Colorado this week and then Houston next week. I don't think I'm in on Caden Dana, but does anything work for you there?
No, I haven't been to D.C. I don't think it's a good one, and I actually sat him, I think. It's bad because you already had the two step this week, and then it was versus the Rockies in Coors, so that kind of takes everything away from it. And then even though the Astros are a good matchup based on WRC plus, I would not start him. I don't think he's not going deep. He's walking a lot of guys from what I remember seeing, so I would definitely not play Dana. Maybe just remember him for next year's draft and holds potentially.
What's your thoughts on Michael Lorenzen? He gets the Jays in Kansas City on Friday. The next week, though, at the Los Angeles Angels, which is a matchup we like to see. Angels is 70.3 WRC plus versus right-handed pitching. Lorenzen's given up 4 runs or more in 3 of his last 4 starts. Could be worse when he faces Toronto. But that Angels start next week, is that something worth streaming in your mind?
I think so. Even the win isn't a high probable outcome because the Royals aren't the best either. He did have a stretch though of at least 5 Ks Lorenzen in 4 straight outings before his last one versus the Phillies, but it was versus the Phillies. He's kind of just regressed back to not being that good. Oh yeah, his numbers on the year are pretty bad now. 4.95 ERA, 1.39 WHIP. If I were to bid on starters in the main event, I would not be too. I wouldn't have Lorenzen too high up on my list for the final week, even though it is versus the Angels. It's a good matchup, but he's not very good anymore. Not that he ever really was that good, but this is not working for him right now. Like, he has good K and walk numbers alluded to, but I wouldn't really trust him, even though it's a good matchup. If you're desperate, maybe, but he's definitely better than some of the other guys we mentioned, I think, in terms of starting him potentially for the final week. But I would try to get somebody else before I get Lorenzen.
All right, I got 2 more for you, and you could add anybody else if you'd like after that. AJ Blubaugh, he's filling in for the injured Luis Garcia for the rest of the year unless something changes. Next week, He's pitching well against Texas. It's only the fourth inning, but he's pitching well. He gets the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim next week. So I'm probably more interested in Pluba than Lorenzen, weirdly enough.
Yeah, so I mentioned from my home league today, I added Shane Smith. I was debating AJ Pluba because I know the Rangers have been okay. I guess.
Actually, Pluba's out after three. They went to bullpen game. So keep an eye on that going forward.
That was a concern because he had gone like four innings and he only went like an inning or two in his last outing. So it's a quality start league. So I need volume, and six innings didn't seem likely, but yeah, if you just want a ratio protector, maybe you play him versus the Angels, quote unquote protector. You never know what can happen, but there's not a lot of time left for him to get stretched out. So it could be a four inning start at the most, and that could have value for you. But if you need Case, he's kind of useless, I think, unfortunately.
Agreed. And the last one I have for you is Spencer Strider. It's been a roller coaster of emotions is the best way I could put it. He's hosting the Draft Champions podcast these days. Keep an eye on that. he gets at Detroit on Sunday, so you're obviously starting that. If you already started them in a weekly league, you could say in a daily league, you can change that if you'd like. Next week gets the Pittsburgh Pirates in Atlanta. I do wonder if they let him go full bore. I guess they've been doing it anyway, so why not at this point? But he feels like, you know, he's coming off his last start, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 Ks, 2 walks. Best start he's had in a while. He's been good, don't get me wrong, but it felt more like a Strider. He had problems early, got out of it, and finished well. What are your thoughts on Strider? Just rolling with him, keeping your eyes closed, who cares?
I actually played him in that same home league yesterday for the Washington start, so that worked out well. And then the last two, yeah, against the Tigers, I would play him, I think, and then definitely for the Pirates. So I think you start Strider because the game versus the Cubs, he had 8 Ks and 3 walks in 6 innings. The whip was a little high, but the area of 3 was good and a lot of Ks. So I think he's kind of getting back to being semi-decent Strider. He's hosting the podcast at night. He's pitching in the day. So he's got a lot going on right now, but I think he's making it work. So I'm definitely more confident starting him over the next 2 weeks.
Totally agree. Anybody else on the righty side of thing that you want to mention? We're getting closer. There's still more guys that aren't at the even mark, but it's a lot of names. Like, okay, in my mind, you're starting Singer, you're starting Woodruff, you're starting Green, Webb, so on and so forth. Anybody else that interests you here?
Will Warren could be okay. He's got the Orioles and the White Sox.
It's not bad. Just that White Sox start.
Yep. Cam Schlitter's doing okay, knock on wood, versus the Twins now.
He bounced back just fine so far. Yep, mm-hmm. He's doing well.
Two more versus the Orioles. And I think the last – he's a two-start week this week, so it's only one next week. I guess no one really of note after that. Nolan McLean's here. He has a good two starts, the Nationals and the Marlins.
I'm not really sure how he's been pitching. Just starting him anyways, though. He's been so good.
Yeah. Mizorowski's on here. He gets the Padres and the Cardinal. He had a really good start recently, right, Mizorowski?
Yes.
Because he was struggling for a little bit with the going deep in the games, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So I think he's okay now. Yeah. So, oh, and then Elder's there. Washington, Detroit.
Yeah, it's tempting. He's been so good, and he's got absolutely crushed in his last start, just destroyed. And he, like, as I talk him up, going, okay, he's actually looking good. He's doing big boy things. I actually saw a beat writer from Atlanta tweet out, he has the most innings pitched by a starter for the Braves this season.
That is so bad.
That's how bad their injuries have been.
And then you look at his underlying stats last 3 weeks. Elders, 15.7 K minus walk, 12.3 swing strike. Sierra and XFIP are both under 4. XFIP's yeah. 3.77.
Oh, I know. That's why I raved about him on the Fab Show last week, and he goes and gets pounded in his last start. I should buy back in now, right?
Well, it was the Astros, so like the regression is going to go in the other direction. Well, 10 hits is a lot in 4 1/3. So
the Astros beat him and Waldrop up on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, and I just jinxed Cam Schlitter. That's great. This Austin Martin guy. James Outman. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Outman went deep. And then our boy Guzman that we just talked about with the Angels, he has hit a home run off of Freddie Peralta.
Oh, my God.
Straightaway center. Lovely.
This is awesome.
So right, yes or no on Elder? Is it Elder or good? Is it yes or no?
It's the. I don't want to give bad advice. I'll say no. I feel like it's too risky.
It's very risky. It's very risky, but there's a chance there's wins involved. That's all I'm going to say. There's a chance when it comes to Bryce Elder, and we're looking at potential. Like if you didn't start him this week because of the last start against Detroit, it's fine. But that Washington start next week for a dollar in FAB.
It's the worst of the two by WRC Plus, but it's in terms of just thinking about it, I think it's definitely the more appealing of the two.
Yes, like I think I'll be having some Bryce Elder on my waterfalls. Let's put it that way. We'll see if he jumps on board or not.
Hopefully he drowns at the bottom. Not really drowns, but
he joins Jack Flaherty and finds the bottom of the
down with the ship.
All right, let's recap some FAB for the week here before we recap our FAB. Let's just do some of the top movers and shakers between the NFBC OC 12 team leagues and some main event discussions as well. The most added player this week, as he should have been, is Connelly Early of the Boston Red Sox, picked up in 180 OC. He's been as high as 111, as low as a dollar. I don't know who had $111 these days, but good for you. Picked up in 56 mains, so there's still one main where Connelly Early is available. He's picked up in 35, as high as 35, as low as a dollar. I got, I think, one or two Connelly shares. Love the kid. Pitched great again tonight against the A's at home. That's kind of what you're hoping for there. 5 1/3, 1 run, 7K. So he's dominated the A's twice so far to start his career. Potentially in line to face Tampa in Tampa this weekend. That'll be interesting. We saw Tampa as a team we want to target, Ben, looking at that sheet. In Tampa is another story. We'll see. The next week he gets Detroit, who you mentioned destroys left-handed pitching. So what are your thoughts on Connelly Early as a big bid? And let's just throw in there, would you start him against the Tigers?
I thought he was a right-handed pitcher all this time. Man, like I was saying before, the Tigers, I feel like they have to come down a little bit from being that good versus lefties. Also, it's kind of it makes you curious, like, who did they face that's left-handed? Was it Mitchell Parker every game? Because that would make it be very
inflating. Logan Allen?
Oh, yeah. Those two would do it. Wow. Guess what Connelly Early's XFIP is in his brief career?
Let's say, like, 3.2. I don't know.
It's negative 0.04.
So he's been legit is what they're saying. Both starts are against the A's. Just remember that.
Yeah, well, this is before the tonight start, I guess. But this is like the fun thing with a one start sample of how crazy the numbers can be because of it's just five innings. But so there's not even really a point looking at this. It's just kind of funny to see. His swing and strike though was 18.9%, so he was dominant. The way he's been pitching, I guess you have to pitch him versus the Tigers. I guess he has to deal with in Tampa and then the Tigers and. Yeah, he was by far the biggest FAB pitcher ad, I think. I did not really have the money to go after him, so I missed out on everywhere. But I think I did have lists for pitchers, and he was at the top, but it was like a dollar, so uncompetitive. But yeah, I think you add him, and hopefully he does not get the Peyton Tolley treatment where he loses his spot. I don't think he would, but
I don't think he will. Do you start him against Detroit?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. Well, second most added player in the NFBC OCs, Andrew Kittredge in 105 leagues, as high as 101, as low as a dollar. He's added in 31 main events, as high as 69, as low as a dollar. Got a couple saves last week. Everyone thought it'd be Brad Keller. It was Kittredge. Everyone picked up Kittredge this week. Kittredge pitched on the 7th on Tuesday night. So you got to love managers in baseball. Where are you at on Andrew Kittredge?
So to your point about him getting the 7th inning, I did add – so I had added Brad Keller in my home league last week, missed out on all the saves. Then I added Andrew Kittredge yesterday morning, and then I saw Brad Keller get the save. I'm like, this is awesome. This is kind of like the Marlins all over again. But I think Kittredge is, over the next week and a half, he's probably going to get the saves. And he was as clear of a closer ad as you could have at this point in the year. So it makes sense to, if you need saves or like an extra pitcher, an extra reliever over these last – well, at this point, it was 2 weeks. I think it made a lot of sense to add Kittredge. And it's impressive that I didn't really mention with Connelly Early, but $100 on these guys as a max is
yeah, it's crazy.
That's wild at this point in the year. But Yeah, so Kittredge is good. He's I thought I whiffed in DCs when I took him as the Orioles backup option for Batista, but I've gotten a handful of saves from him now, so it hasn't all been lost. But yeah, he's been really good to Kittredge, and yeah, the Cubs should win a handful of games over the next week and a half. So I think there's a good chance he gets to a couple more.
Yeah, had a couple of Kittredge DC shares. That was nice to plug in last week as well. So I'm with you on that one. All right, Brandon Sproat picked up in 101 OCs, as high as 54, as low as a dollar. Picked up in 50 main events, so still available in 7. Size 55, as low as a dollar. Sproat made his debut on the 7th. He's made 2 starts now, 12 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, and 10 Ks so far for Sproat. This week he faces the Nationals, which is very nice. The next week at the Cubs. I was very interested in Brandon Sproat if I could get some shares. Again, I'm doing basically dollar days, so not a lot of shares were had. Where are we at on Brandon Sproat?
I think I had him right behind Connolly early in my pitcher bid list, but of course, same deal. I didn't have enough money to actually get Sproat. So it's kind of funny that he gets 2 starts before we even get to add him because of how he fell on Sunday that first week. So you probably missed. There's a good chance he missed out on his 2 best starts, Sproat. Which is kind of how these things go sometimes, unfortunately. But if you need starters, a starter at least, yeah, he was definitely number 2 in my mind.
Yep.
Any plan if you got him for those 2 starts, I think, too. There's no point in not.
Yeah, definitely rocking him out there. Costanza, Jason Alexander, picked up in 90 OCs, as high as 44, as low as a dollar. Since July 29th, he's made 9 starts, 3 earned runs or less in each of those starts, Ben. That's not bad, a 2.32 ERA. Over that stretch, but with a 17% K to walk. So it's not like he's a complete schlub out there either. When you're looking at Jason Alexander this week, he had the 2-step. He had Texas on Monday night, gets Seattle this weekend. And then next week, he gets the Angels, which we've been targeting all night on this show. I was very excited for Jason Alexander. Where were you at on this one?
I had him for a bit on a main event. That's a good one. And then I ended up cutting him, and I didn't really feel any remorse for doing that. I think it was because of the Javier return or Luis Garcia return, and we saw how that worked out. But yeah, the 2-step wasn't good. They almost both had a 120 WRC plus versus righties last month or so, the Rangers and the Mariners. So I probably would have avoided that, but I think that's why he was added, because it was a 2-start week. And you see the Rangers, but they have been hot. And then the Mariners, I guess people still think they're a good target, even though he was home. But actually, no, despite being home, they're still targeting it. I don't know. It feels very risky for me. But he did do all right yesterday, it looks like. Yeah, he definitely survived the Rangers start. Didn't go deep enough for the win, unfortunately. But it looks like he could end up hurting your whip, because he had a 1.29 whip in that outing. And then I feel like the Mariners could hit him pretty hard, even though last 3 weeks he has pretty good numbers. Alexander, 18.7 K minus walk. Has been a little lucky with left on base, 90% over that time. So I can explain why he's been doing well. So I think it comes down to the 2-start week. I just wouldn't have necessarily targeted it myself, unless you're desperate for the wins and strikeouts, which I get, but definitely some risk. And like I said, he passed the first test. I just think the Mariners could probably get to him, but we'll have to wait and see.
That's fair. I like the 2-step. Plus, I love that Angel start next week. So it's a combo of the two. Looking at the 3-start package with him. Joey Cantillo was picked up in 85 OCs, as high as 51, as low as a dollar. Cantillo's a guy that I've loved coming into the season. Was kind of bummed he didn't get the love he deserved. Got recalled on September 3rd, made 2 starts with the Guardians, 14 innings, 1 earned run, 12 Ks, 2 walks. That's pretty good. And when he got the 2-step this week at Detroit, at Minnesota, so like Detroit WRC plus, terrifying, but at Minnesota is enticing. And then next week it's the Texas Rangers. Where were you at on Joey Cantillo?
I want to say he had already been rostered in the main events. Let me double check that. So fantasy transactions. Yeah, he was last added on the 7th, I believe, is what it was. So
last Sunday.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so he's been gone for me. But yeah, just looking at the strength of schedule, that's bad. He's probably near the bottom of the lefty list, if I had to guess. Let me look. Yeah, he is 3rd to last with a 130.6 WRC+, driven by the Tigers, of course, but the other 2 matchups aren't good either. Yeah, I think people, again, they just saw the two-start week and Cantillo had a good last outing, so they're trying to chase what just happened, but it could get ugly. He has good K and walk numbers last two starts, 12 Ks, two walks, and 14 innings, which is pretty darn good. Granted, the one was versus the Royals, who we were saying have been a target. So if you're looking at the surface stats, it makes sense to add Cantillo. I think, though, that he hasn't been that consistent all year anyway, so he is prone to the blow-ups. And I would like his whip on the year is 1.31. So it's nice. Definitely some risk, but if you need the volume, it does make sense. Martin Perez showed that the Tigers are legit because that one start was pretty ugly. But it's Martin Perez, so that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, it's tough because there's so few options at this time of year, and you're just trying to add starters, so you're trying to do whatever you can. But there'll be some warts with this ad.
One of my top starting pitching targets this week was Tyler Wells, picked up in 84 leagues, as high as 50, as low as a dollar. He was gone in main events before this week because I was actually surprised of how many 12s he was available in. He has the White Sox this week, which is pretty nice, and then he gets the Rays next week in Camden Yards, not in Tampa Bay. Wells has looked great in his first few starts. Strikeouts are there. I thought he was one of the better options this week.
For sure. Let me look at to see what his matchups are, just for the hell of it. Pretty good. At the White Sox, home versus the Rays. So he's not in George Steinbrenner, which is good for him. So yeah, he would definitely be my that's tough. I don't know if I'd prefer him over the rookies.
No, I probably would have I think I had him over Sproat, honestly. I think I might have. I had early over him for the potential three starts compared to two.
Yeah, I guess the one thing though with at least with Wells, we know he's done it, but he's come back from injury at the same time, so it's tough to gauge how effective he'll be. But he's been great in the first two starts, so he's definitely he was a solid number three depending on how you ordered it between early and Sproat and him. But yeah, no issues with Wells here. He would he should have been well. There it goes again with the two start with Cantillo and Alexander. I would rather have had the one from Wells than the two for those guys. So that's just me.
Don't blame you there. Yeah. Harrison Bader has picked up in 80 OCs, as high as 94, as low as a dollar. Bader's been nuclear hot since being a Philadelphia Philly. Widely gone in main events. I don't have a whole lot to add here. Just people finally figured it out, I guess, with 2 weeks to go.
That's those 12s for you. He's been on fire with, wow, he was 16 for 33 last week in terms of hit 485. He's been in a leadoff for them too. Man, he's been on fire. Like his year-to-date slash now, Bader's, is 285, 358, 465. That's the best of his career.
Yeah, with Trey Turner going out, he took over the leadoff role, and it's just like, good Lord.
The only thing is that no steals, really.
But you don't have to steal much when Schwarber's behind you hitting home runs, so it works out pretty well.
He's almost 2010, which is valuable with that 285 average, so... Yeah, it's been a very weird year for Bader. But yeah, it's just reactive adds to playing time. So it makes sense. He's a good add.
All right. Jameson Taillon picked up in 74 leagues, as high as 59, as low as a dollar. Taillon returned from the IL last week, looks very solid. He had a two step this week at Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. The Pittsburgh start went very well. And then next week, he gets the Cardinals in Wrigley. So this seemed like another one that if strikeouts are always kind of an issue from time to time with Taillon. The ratios are usually pretty strong. Three solid looking starts. I guess this is a pretty good pickup this week as well.
Agreed. He did a great job in the first start, so that's good. And it makes sense. Yeah, it make him being behind the other two. I would actually prefer Taillon over Wells and or not Alexander and Cantillo probably, based on matchups. But it comes down to the Ks in the end too. So. Yep. It's tricky. The Reds have been. Is their matchup that good?
Awful right now.
Yeah, like they're LA's struggling bad. We're talking about him in the Discord today.
McGreevy is dominating them right now.
Who is Kirby?
McGreevy is dominating.
Oh, McGreevy. Right now. Yeah, 98.5. The Reds are actually the best matchup of the three by WRC plus. So, yep. It was matchups wise, he was the better, more appealing two step pitcher. Than Cantillo and Alexander Taillon, but Yeah, there is the risk in the Cincinnati start because he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. So if they get some fly balls that go out, that could really hurt. But he's definitely in better in line for wins being on the Cubs than those other two guys are, I think. So this could be the better value of those three ads.
Agreed. I don't have much left in the 12 side here. Like Dalen Lyle, we talked about him plenty. He should have been picked up a million weeks ago. Ryan Weathers off the IL, Josh Bell, Brendan Donovan off the IL, Mackenzie Gore off the IL. We've talked about all these guys, Ben. So anybody else you'd like to discuss? Like on the 15 side, Otto Kemp, that's mainly Coors play. Sean Burke's back, Mackenzie Gore, Tyler O'Neill. A lot of these things we've seen a lot of throughout the last few weeks. Anybody else you'd like to discuss?
Michael Hellman got added in 14 mains. He's been pretty good. I know.
I'm surprised he was still available in 14 mains, honestly.
Yeah, he had a decent three-week stretch. Well, week 23 was when he went 5 for 15, two homers and a steal. That's kind of when he was first on the map for me. Yeah.
The man is man.
This is kind of wild, but he's only rostered in one of my four 15-teamers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it's the playing time concern because, like, he didn't start on Monday. He's starting Tuesday. Hits the bottom of the order. It's like, I understand some of the concerns with Hellman. Dude's raking, though, and that Rangers team's, like, on fire. So I know it's bad analysis, but I say it a lot. As the season winds down, give me the hot hand. Let's dance because, like, that's all I care about right now.
Yeah, maybe people are seeing that he's a 29-year-old rookie, and that's maybe why.
People are ageist, yes.
I did have him in a bid list, though, Hellman. So I was willing to get him if it fell to it, but I got somebody else who we'll talk about instead. But yeah, definitely an intriguing ad, has some power and some speed. Yeah, this is some similar names here. We'll talk about Sal Stewart for my ads. So yep. I think I'm good.
All right, let's talk about the ads then. You want to talk about, you mentioned this even yesterday in a text. We'll talk about him later. So who you got? Let's go over your ads. You want to save the big main for last? You want to start with how you? The floor is yours.
Yeah, we'll do the big main last. So New Jersey main, trying to unload the tank here. Go figure. I added Charlie Morton, dropped Andrew Alvarez 2-0. This team's terrible anyway. So, and Alvarez, I think he was facing the Mets, and I didn't want any part of that. Then I got Kyle Hendricks. This is actually funny. We talked about Hendricks and Morton, and I kind of trashed both of them. But here we are.
Picked them both up.
I know. I forgot about this. But I mean, I had nothing. It's whatever at this point with this team. So I added Morton, dropped Alvarez 2-0. Added Hendricks, dropped Adrian Hauser 1-0. So those are the drops. It's not like I'm dropping anyone crazy. And then I added Freddie Fermin, dropped Aaron Ashby 1-1.
Worst part is when I hear Hendricks every time, I feel like I'm watching K-pop Demon Hunters with my daughter.
I don't know who that is.
Some people might understand that one because I didn't for a while, and then I found out in the last few weeks. So yes, but sorry. Yeah.
That's right. Hopefully someone enjoyed that. Not that I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't know what the
reference was. You have no idea, though. It's just kind of it's kind of the point. I bet you a majority of my audience will have zero clue.
Hey, you never know. Hey, look who I added again. Kyle Hendricks dropped Eric Lauer 1-0. This is main event, too. Also a terrible main event. I added Adrian Del Castillo as another catcher. Dropped Mitchell Parker 1-1. Added Randy Vasquez. Dropped Aaron Ashby 1-1. This is the move that made it onto Spencer Black Strider's minutes. Podcast. Added Martin Perez, dropped Cole Reagans 1-0. I did not know Reagans was pitching this week when I made that move. I didn't find out until after Fabbrand, but it's right. It's whatever. I doubt he goes very deep in the games, Reagans, anyway. And he could also just be back because he's coming back from a rotator cuff injury. And then I did actually add Michael Hellman, dropped Luis Matos 1-1 here. So I did get him.
So you have the one person that owns him in your four leagues. You are the one.
Yes, I forgot I actually added him.
You are the one.
Yeah. And I almost was too because I had him on the list in my main event that's doing well. So I
nice.
I forgot about it. And then the listener league, I'm down to $1 here for the last week. I added Justin Verlander, the aforementioned. I dropped Peyton Tolley 1-0, and then I added Freddie Fermin again. Dropped Luis Matos 1-0 just to have a third catcher in case. And then so main event three, I went to the week with $3 left. So Initially, I wanted to save all three for next week, but because of injuries and availability, I figured, okay, well, I'll spend two now and save the one for this upcoming Sunday. So my two ads were, and you might remember this because I mentioned it in the Discord, I added Jake McCarthy for the 18th time this year, I dropped Sean Manaea, 1-0, and then I added Sal Stewart, dropped Andrew Alvarez, 1-0.
Didn't both those guys hit home runs last night?
Sal Stewart did. I don't think McCarthy did. He was 1-for-4 with 2 runs. Oh, he actually had a good game last night, McCarthy. I didn't realize he did that well. When I went to bed, he wasn't really doing anything, so that was a nice surprise, I guess, now that I – thanks for telling me that. Yes, Stewart carried my team last night. I think he had 3 hits and a homer. Yep. He was most of my offense, and I shared a tweet from Eric Cross. I guess his numbers have been really good since Stewart has been called up so far, and he could just be one of those guys that gets hot into the season and can help you, because I believe – so I needed a first baseman because I have Ben Rice at catcher. I didn't want to add another catcher and move Rice to first if I couldn't help it. And my first baseman has been Rice and Tyler Soderstrom. So I haven't had a backup technically for the longest time since ever. Once Rice got catcher eligibility, he went straight there, and that was it. So Soderstrom missed all the weekend, and I said, well, I don't trust him to play. I need a first baseman. So I went with Stewart. I think he was second behind Otto Kemp. But the Reds have 7 games this week, so that was kind of a deciding factor in why I prioritized him, and worked out so far. I don't know how he's doing tonight, but I think I'm definitely happy with the ad so far, so we'll see what happens.
Sal Stewart, you ask? Sal Stewart is 0-for-2 with a walk.
Okay.
Like I said, McGreevy's owning the Reds. That's ridiculous.
Oh, and Shane Smith got crushed by the Orioles, so that's not good. Okay. We're talking about that, but oh well.
Anybody else, or is it my turn?
It was just those two ads in the main event. Okay. So I think I have a total of $6 for my 4 teams left. So
hey, I'm in a similar boat.
Easy Sunday.
I think I left $1 or $2 in most leagues. Yes, we will talk here shortly. So in one of my OCs, I picked up Dalen Lyle, dropped Dom Smith 1-1, runner up $1. Added Otto Kemp, dropped Lars Nootbaar 1-0. Added Sean Armstrong, dropped Daniel Palencia 1-0. Like, this was like 4 or 5 weeks ago. That I'd be so happy with those, but still happy, but you know what I mean. Beat Bubba OC, picked up Otto Kemp, dropped Justin Topa 1-0. Added Jordan Leisure, dropped Daniel Palencia 1-0. In one of my standalone 12 teamers, added Dalen Lyle, dropped Trey Turner 1-0. Added Otto Kemp, dropped Nolan Gorman 1-0. Kemp swings it plus Coors. Was the easy decision there. In my Vegas 250, added Brandon Sproat, dropped Matthew Liberatore, 1-0. Sproat was down the list for me. So this league is ridiculously competitive. It's insane. Wainwright, Slezak, and Waddell are battling for it all. Waddell's in the lead last time I saw. It's a crazy league. Crazy, crazy good league. Bubba and the Bloom listener auction, picked up Otto Kemp, dropped Lourdes Gurriel. I actually had money in this league, 3-0. Added Max Kepler, dropped Kyle Stowers 2-0. Now I want to bring up Kepler. He surprised me when I dug into him for Fab this week, because it seems like everyone's always like, give me Brandon Marsh versus righties. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Kepler, now he struggles. I get it. But like, how bad are the struggles is what I wanted to see. So I dug in a little on Mr. Kepler. If you just want to go back to September 1st, if you want a small sample, dude's hitting .303 with 2 homers and a steal of about 10 games. Not bad, walking almost 15%. That's what Kepler does. If you want a larger sample for Kepler, go back to August 1st. He's still hitting .284 with 5 homers, 16 runs, 7 ribbies, and 2 steals. Like, he's been quite serviceable, all things said and done, for Max Kepler. And when you look at the Phillies' upcoming schedule, it's not an easy schedule, but it was – and the opening series sucks. It's 1 righty, 2 lefties against the Dodgers, a tough series. But over the weekend, he gets 3 in against the D-backs. Nelson or Tony Disco got DFA'd, so we'll see who pitches then. And then Zach Gallen. And then next week, he potentially gets 5 righties in 6 games, including a Marlins in a Twin series. So I liked the upside of Kepler for the final 2 weeks of the season. And then I also added Andrew Kittredge, dropped Devin Williams 2-0. That's going swimmingly so far. And then in the league I care about the most, just because I have a chance to actually make money in this league, would be my Olek. Otto Kemp dropped Kyle Stowers 1-0. And then I got Connolly early here, dropped Daniel Palencia 1-0. So that early start feels real good in that league right now as things are going along. All right, Ben, we have one listener question in the chat here from our good buddy Britton Allen. He says, Astros outfielder Zach Cole and Nats outfielder Dalen Lyle are off to hot starts. Worth adding or Queen Elsa it? I love that reference. I want to know if you understand what that means.
At first I didn't. Then I, when you said her name, is he saying let it go?
Yes. Are they worth adding or should we let them go? I think that is beautiful. Baylor Lyle, 100%. Like, he's not just on a hot start. He's a hot hitter right now. Yeah. Zach Cole's off a hot start. But I would add Lyle. What are your thoughts on both?
Definitely Lyle. I think we talked about him last week. He's actually hitting fourth, which I was surprised to see for the Nationals, unless I checked. The only issue I really have was that he was hitting lower in the lineup. I'm looking up Zach Cole. So he...
Small sample.
Yeah, I'm looking at the minors. Oh, he's a power speed guy, it looks like. So basically in two seasons, he has 51 homers and 87 steals across his four minor league. In terms of MLB seasons, he had been, essentially has two seasons worth of games, 317 career games in the minors, 51 homers, 87 steals. Kind of a bad average, though. A lot of swing and miss, it looks like. So maybe he kind of reminds me of Bryce Matthews a little bit here. Same organization, that's why I said that. What's he done so far in the majors, Cole? He's done, he had two homers.
Super small sample. But he's,
I'd go with Lyle. Looks like
he's
going to
play more with Yard. He looks like he's going to play more with Yordan out. Might still sit for his lefties, but he's going to play more. I go Lyle.
Yeah, well, so Houston gets the Mariners to end the week.
Not easy.
So they're always tough, even though they're all righties. And then the Astros have, God, you know what?
They get that Angels series.
So the last week, the Astros are in Sacramento, then they are in LA versus the Angels.
That's a great way to finish the season.
Oh, man, that changes my mind. The Nationals get, they have a good matchup too. Besides Sale, you get Waldrop, Elder, Yandries Gomez last week, Sean Burke, Shane Smith.
That's a good set of matchups. Can you get both?
Yeah, maybe I had both.
The old why not both?
So I would say if you just want a steady bat, go Lyle. If you're like really trying to make a move, I'd go with Zach Cole, I guess. Or like Bubba said, add both if you can, because they both have good matchups.
I like that theory, though. If you want to shoot the moon, go Cole. But I think Lyle's a beast and a force to be reckoned with. All right, we'll wrap it up there. One more week of Fab to go. You have about 10 more days of grinding and stress. Well, actually, you only have like 5 more days of stressing, because once it's done, it's done. Once your lineups are set, it's set.
It's going to be so relieving Monday night once everything locks, or most everything locks.
So we will be back with you guys next week, try to figure out something fun and exciting to talk about besides just recapping week 27 Fab. We don't have a whole, I guess we can recap this. Look at the schedules for your daily leagues and maybe your weekends. But any final thoughts before we ride out of here?
I'll just say that Soderstrom played tonight. I was looking at my team, and he's 2-for-2 on my bench. That's a good sign, even though I missed out on the production. But I'll take that homer from Sal Stewart. So anyone in the daily league or anyone who has Soderstrom, that's good news. I'm watching the Yankees, and there is now a save chance for David Bednar. Go figure. We were talking about that before.
Yeah, you're talking about that bullpen of yours. There was a chance this could happen.
And the worst part is that Schlittler didn't even go 5 for the win. So,
yeah.
Oh, well. But, that's all
we
I have
grind
to say.
On. We grind on. Make sure y'all follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T if you want his other critiques and more, not critiques, more analysis and chatter. He's in the Discord often, so have some fun around there. You can find me on Twitter at @BDentric. Until next time, Benched with Bubba, episode 783. Catch y'all later.